love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I know some of you that allowed me to say good morning. I know you might not be listening in the morning, but all right. So good. Good morning. It's the morning faith boost. Welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome. 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 I believe this particular series has been quite revealing. I believe it's been quite enlightening. I believe it's been strengthening, you know. So, hey, and we've come to the final, you know, day. Yep, it's Friday. So, we will be ending this particular teaching today. Hey, so how has it been for you? If you can, please drop a comment. Let me know. Okay, so how's this particular series been? Has it blessed you? Has it impacted you? Hey, let me know. Okay, so ha ha ha. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, so that was Goodness of God by Bethel Music featuring Jen Johnson. Good song, guys. Well, yeah, let's stay with him. God has been seriously, like, so good to us. Okay, so let's stay with the song and, you know, just keep singing about the goodness of God. Glory. Glory to God. All right, so we're talking about the gift of righteousness. It's getting clearer, all right, and I believe it's quite clear that there are two major types of righteousness. There's righteousness by the law, all right, and then there's a righteousness by faith. The righteousness by the law is also what you call the righteousness by work, something you get by doing something. So unconsciously, that's what's been, you know, in most of our minds. The only way to be righteous is by doing something, but all through scripture, we've seen it again and again and again. Nobody can become righteous by doing anything. You become righteous by faith, All right, did you get that? Nobody can become righteous by doing anything. You become righteous by faith. That's how it happens, all right? That's how it happens. Let me read to you Galatians chapter 3 and the 11th verse. It clearly says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." No man, all right? The Passion Translation says, "For the scriptures reveal, and it is obvious." Did you get that now? And that's not me. All right, that's the Passion Translation. "For the scriptures reveal, and it is obvious, that no one achieves the righteousness of God by attempting to keep the law. For it is written, those who have been made holy will live by faith." All right, so NLT. "So it is clear." So this is NLT again saying it is clear, not me, all right? "So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it is through faith that the righteous person has life." So you don't become righteous by works. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't add up. It can't, all right? The same Galatians, if you remember, we touched this when we were, you know, looking at the topic titled "The Authentic Seed of Abraham," all right? So from the 19th verse, all right, when the Bible says, what then, all right? What then is the purpose of the law? Let me switch to NLT so that Son isn't wondering what's going on, all right? So 19, quickly. Okay, Bible says here, "Why then was the law given? It was given alongside a promise to show their sins." That's the purpose of the law. When God made Abraham or declared Abraham righteous, God credited Abraham as righteous without Abraham even, you know, circumcising himself, without doing anything. Abraham was righteous by faith, by believing. And Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. So what then is the purpose of the law? It was given alongside the promise to show their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, you know, who was a mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God is one who did not, God who is one did not use a mediator when he gave promise to Moses. Watch verse 21 now. "Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not." Watch this. "If the law could give us new life, we could be made right by obeying the law." But it couldn't give us new life. Do you get that? The law could not make anybody right. Passion Translation says, "So that's true. Should we consider the written law to be contrary to the promise of new life? How absurd. Truly, if there was a law that we could keep that would give us new life, then our salvation would have come by law keeping. But our salvation could not come by keeping the law." Are you getting this now? So the law couldn't do it. So your righteousness, all right, now that you're born again, you know, because some might be wondering, so are you really, really saying I'm righteous? We looked at it at the end of yesterday's episode, Ephesians chapter 4 and the 22nd verse, all right? "Throw off your old sinful nature." I'm reading the NLT. "Throw off your old sinful nature, all right, and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Put off old nature, put on. How do you put it on? Put it off. Do you wear it like a garment, a shoe, a jacket, a hat, a face cap? No, it's a consciousness. The more you are conscious of who you are now as the born again person, all right, that you're putting on, all right, when you lose the consciousness, then you've put it off, all right? So it says put off. That means lose the consciousness of your old man. Stop thinking and acting like that old self. Stop behaving like that. That's not you. Did you get that? That's not you. But now the Bible says put on, all right? Build a consciousness of the new man that is created like God, truly righteous and holy. Are you getting this, child of God? You that are born again, you were created righteous and holy. God, who is righteous and holy, would never have created an unrighteous and an unholy being. Don't forget, John 3 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit." First John 4, you are born of God. All right. First John 3, now are we the children of God. So you are God's child. You are God's very own God's child. That's who you are. All right. So God did not give birth to you as unrighteous. God did not give birth to you as unholy. No, you are now a partaker of the divine nature of God. God is righteous. God is holy. That's who God is. So that's who you are. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So say, I am righteous. I am holy. I am righteous. I am holy. I was born righteous. Born holy. Not born your initial birth, but born now birth. Your new creation. You were recreated righteous. Recreated holy. So that's why this 24th verse says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. We looked at it, but we need to look at it again. 2 Corinthians 5 and the 21st verse of 2 Corinthians 5. Bible says, using the King James, for him who knew no sin. All right. The him there is who? The him is Jesus. All right. Him who knew no sin. Him who? Him Jesus. Are you getting that? For he had made him sin, rather. You know, he made him sin to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Jesus did not know sin. Jesus did not commit sin. So Bible says he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So I said earlier that there are two kinds of righteousness. There's a righteousness that comes by law. Then there's a righteousness that comes by faith. All right. Now, under the righteousness that comes by faith, there's a twofold righteousness. All right. The one Abraham received and then the one we have received. So there are two kinds because we receive both now. Don't forget, Romans tells us in chapter 4, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him. Fashion to count means to credit, all right? To give, you know, that acknowledgement to someone, to give a declaration. Oh, you are righteous. You are righteous. God counted it. God credited Abraham as righteous. Now we see here, Bible says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. All right. The word made there is like the word manufactured, that we might be made the righteousness of God. This I'm using to buttress what we saw in Ephesians 4, that you were created righteous and holy. You were not just credited. Abraham did not become a new creature. He didn't become a new creation. He didn't get born again. So Abraham did not confess Jesus as Lord and then the blood of Jesus washed him clean. No. So that didn't happen to Abraham. So what Abraham received was a righteousness by credit. A righteousness by declaration. And that suffices. That's fantastic. Because Jesus had not shed his blood. So we are, yes, declared righteous because of our faith, but we are also made righteous. Oh, glory to God. Two levels of righteousness that cannot be defeated. All right? You have been credited as righteous, but not just credited. You were made, you were created, manufactured. You came out of a manufacturing plant, came out of the spiritual womb, righteous. That's so you're not just, my nature isn't changed, but God has just, you know, God called me righteous. So, and that's, I mean, in the Old Testament, that was the height of it. That was the height. They couldn't go beyond that. Don't forget what we had learned under the authentic seed of Abraham. These people had promises they could not receive. They had to wait for our dispensation. So they couldn't receive the gift of righteousness. Now we have. Now we can. Glory, glory, glory to God. Say, I am born righteous. I am made righteous. All right. Jesus did not commit sin. We didn't do anything righteous. He who did not commit sin took our sin. That's this 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He took our sin, he became sin, he suffered for the sin. If God makes you suffer for sin, then why did Jesus suffer for the sin? So Jesus took all the sin, suffered for the sin. So if something happens to you and you feel, this is my sin, or my sin is catching up with me. No, your sin and iniquities have been laid on Jesus Christ. And God has blotted them out. This is where people go again. So are you saying whatever I do, I can just do whatever? No, come on. Now, the truth is, certain things still have their natural consequences, but God himself will not judge you because all judgment have been placed on Jesus. You need to understand this 2 Corinthians 5:19. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, not counting their sins against them. Why? Isaiah 53 says, all of us like sheep have gone our own way. God laid on him the iniquity of all of us. God put on him the iniquity. So he suffered for our sins. He was punished for our sins. He died for our sins. Him. So if I'm going to die for my sins and you're going to die for your sins, then he didn't need to have died. In the court of heaven, we died for our sins. But how did we die? In Christ. So Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 comes in very well. I have been crucified with Christ. So in the court of heaven, you died. In the record of God, you died. All right? Someone did it for you, but heaven noted it. You've died to your sins. So you can't die twice. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. So the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So I've been crucified. I've died. Are you getting this now? So this is exciting. So God charges your sins to the account of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is still alive, making intercession for the saints. All right. And he's the propitiation of our sins. 1 John, all right, chapter 2, verse 2. And not for our sins alone, but for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation there means sacrifice. He is the sacrifice of our sins. Are you getting this? It's so beautiful. Because now that you're righteous, it means you are now a bona fide child of God. You are now you have the rights and the privileges of a child of God. You could jump around God, you know, and not feel like Adam cringing. Oh, I heard your voice, so I ran away. I was afraid. No. Nothing makes a new creation afraid. We have perfected love, and that perfect love should cast out fear. So you don't feel, oh, God is here, I'm going to hide. No, there's nothing to hide about. Because he made you now like himself. Truly righteous, truly holy. Guys, this is worthy of meditation. Worthy of very, 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 very solid meditation. Very important, please. So I need you to understand this. All right. So let's quickly get to Romans and the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. So I might need to do NLT here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Let's do NLT. So Romans 5 and 12. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone for everybody sinned. All right. So Adam's sin opened the door and then the whole thing spread. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. All right. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. 14. Still, everybody died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. 15. But there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. See what he's calling righteousness. There's a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness, that's righteousness, all right, to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. So he's talking about what Adam did and what Jesus did. So I'll take 15 again. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater. So if Adam's sin could have an effect on all of us, Jesus' sacrifice will have a greater effect on us. Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Are you getting that? So God's free gift leads to righteousness. Adam's free gift leads to condemnation. So if you still every day live in condemnation, even when you wake up and you don't know what you've done, you've never done anything, just start feeling bad. I'm a sinner. No, if you're born again, deal with that feeling and say, there is therefore now no condemnation. Are you getting that now? Okay. So 17 says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, But even greater is God's wonderful grace. He keeps using wonderful, gracious, and all. All right? God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through his own man, Jesus Christ. I need to read 17 again. I'm using NLT. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. Greater than the effect of the sin of Adam. So we've lived in the consciousness of the effect of the sin of Adam. Bible says even greater is God's wonderful grace, all right, and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I'll stop at 19. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everybody. So if you're born again, you have a right relationship with God and a new life. Someone says, no, I don't believe it. But why is it easy for us to believe that through Adam's offense, we all become sinners? It's always easy. So we believe this latter part, but it keeps saying, but greater, even greater is God's gracious gift. So we've believed, all of us, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm born in sin, I'm a sinner. So wipe that thing with the word of God. It shouldn't be easier for you to believe that, oh, I'm a sinner because of Adam's sin. And then you find it difficult to now believe, oh, now I'm righteous because of Jesus' act of obedience. And that's what Romans 5, all right, 12 to 19 is dealing with. Please read it a number of times on your own. So 19 now, watch this. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Did you get this? This is very clear, verse 19. Because one man disobeyed God, many became sinners. All right, but because one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. How will they be made righteous? By their faith. The moment they believe, then they become righteous. They become born again and they are born righteous. They become made righteous. They become credited as righteous. They become righteous. Are you getting this? Isn't this exciting? Are you there saying to yourself, I am the righteousness of God? I am the righteousness of God. Where did we get that? Don't forget it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. I am made righteous. I'm born righteous and holy. I'm a bona fide child of God. Hallelujah. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. I'm peculiar. I may wake up feeling like a sinner. I tell that feeling I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. That means I walk by the word of God. It means I walk by whatever it is that God says about me in the Bible. So God said, I am his child. God said, he loves me with an everlasting love. God said, I'm righteous. So I boldly say that to myself. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous and I'm holy. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I was born righteous. Born righteous. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Can I just stir you up quickly this morning as we begin to round this up? Glory to Jesus Christ. There's what, you know, I love to call, you know, over the years, the blessing of righteousness. Now that I know I'm righteous, okay, so what? So what? Hey, don't just so what, so what? So what? Now that you're righteous, all right? James chapter 5 verse 16, the B part. All right, James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's for you. That's for you. All right, drum rolls. That's for you. You are righteous. That means your prayers work. Your prayers work because you're righteous. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Because you're righteous, your prayers work. I need to tell that to yourself again and again, all right? Tell that to yourself. Tell that to yourself. My prayers work. My prayers are effective. My prayers are powerful. All right? The Amplified tells us the heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So we focus so much on, yes, the prayer, you know, it makes power available, and that's fantastic. But many times you miss out, it's the prayer of a righteous man. So, you know, believers now allow the devil to condemn them, you know, and then cheat them. And then they feel my prayer is not working. My prayer is not affecting my prayer. No, you've got to stand your ground against that silly guy called the devil. The Bible says, you know, Peter was telling us, be sober, you know, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about looking for whom he may devour. He is not a lion. All right. We have the authentic lion and we are like the lion. All right. We're like our own lion. All right. Lion, our own tribe. So stand bold against the devil. Are you righteous? Yes, you are. So Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Say my prayer avails much. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. That's you. You righteous. That's you. The righteous you, I'm talking to you. Yes, you. Yes, you. First Peter 3 and verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That's you. Oh, say God's eyes are on me now. Hallelujah. Oh, no, not God. Where is your face? Where is your face? No, 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 no. No, a million times. No, not God. Where is your face? Oh, God, where is your face? No, because you are righteous. Your prayers avail much. Because you are righteous, the eyes of the Lord are over you. All right? His eyes are over you to do you good. Did you hear that? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears. That means God's eyes are on me. God's ears are attentive to me. Don't feel, oh, they're like how many billions of people on this earth? Oh, God, out of 7 billion, would you have my time? Oh, and then he sings some funny songs. Oh, I'm so glad you have my time. I'm so glad you have my time. Oh, Lord, you have my time. You have my time. If he didn't have your time, what else would he be doing? He has engraved you upon the palm of his hands. Your walls are continually before him. You are the righteous. So the Bible tells me to tell you. The Bible tells you. God's eyes are on you. You know those, you know, when you put two fingers towards your eyes and then you point to that person, I'm watching you. You know, God's eyes are on you. But in this case, to do you good. All right. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you, lead you in the way to go, guide you in my eyes. Some versions say, guide you with my eyes on you. I'm watching. Not watching to smack you when you make a mistake. I'm guiding you with my eyes. Glory to God. Po, 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 po. Now, what Peter said that we read just now, 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers. He picked it from Psalm 34. So let's see what David says in Psalm 34. Let me just pick three powerful verses from Psalm 34. Psalm 34:15. Any righteous person hearing this, listen to who you are and the blessings you've got. All right. Psalm 34:15 says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears open to their prayer. So that's where open to their cry. That's where Peter got the statement from. The 17th verse now says the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them from out of all their troubles. Hallelujah. The righteous cries, the Lord hears and the Lord delivers the righteous out of all guys, not some. No wonder the Bible says if any man lack wisdom, he should ask from God who will give to all men freely and he will not fault you. Glory to God. The righteous cry, the Lord will hear and deliver them out of all their troubles. All right, now the 19th verse of this same Psalm 34, we've read 15, we've read 17, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Are you righteous? Are you confronted by different situations and circumstances? Hi, stand bold as a lion. Rev your prayer with intense energy. Be bold as lion, knowing that God's eyes are on you. God's ears are open to you. Know that you will cry. God will hear you. I know that many are your afflictions or might be the challenges you face, but there is a sure deliverance. Are you here this morning? Glory to God. All right. Psalm 5 and the 12th verse. Psalm 5 verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you compass him as with a shield. Oh, I'm surrounded with favor. All right, sing it however you want to sing it, guys, but just sing something. I'm surrounded with favor. Men favor me. Circumstances are working to my favor. Things work. Projects work to my favor. Business deals work to my favor. I'm led. I'm at the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right things, getting the right results. I'm favored. I'm surrounded with favor. Hallelujah. I'm surrounded with favor. Listen, this is what you fight the fight of faith with. You hold on to God's word. Hallelujah. Oh, you bless the righteous with favor. You will compass them as with a shield. You know what a shield is? A shield is for defense. So when men gang up against you, your defense is the favor of God. Your defense. And Bible says when a man's ways pleases the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. I'm surrounded by favor. Glory to God. I'm shielded. Something's trying to hit me and his favor guards me and blocks it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll end this moment with Isaiah chapter 3 and the 10th verse. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Ha ha. Ha ha. I say to you, it shall be well with you. I say to you, it is well. It is well. It is well. I say, hallelujah. I say to you that it is well with you. It is well with all that concerns you. It is well with you round about. I say to the righteous. I say to you the righteousness of God. Somebody, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. It is well with you. Someone says, no, it can't be. It has to be well. And Proverbs 4:18, the path of you, the righteous person, as a shining light gets brighter and brighter. Someone says, what will happen tomorrow? I might not have the details, but I know it's going to get better. Hey, I'm not just saying it because I'm trying to be positive or optimistic. I'm saying it because I've got inside information. God's word tells me my tomorrow is sure. My tomorrow is sure. Surer than sure bet. My tomorrow is surer than any game anybody's playing. My tomorrow is sure. The path of a righteous is as a shining light that gets better, better, brighter, brighter. Onto a perfect day. Come on, I want you to spend the day rejoicing. Just think through these blessings. Face your day with it. Face your weekend with it. Face the rest of the year. Please go over these blessings, all right? And find as many. Anything you find that belongs to Abraham belongs to you. Anywhere you find right, just claim it. Claim it. Claim it. Claim it. Psalm 84:11, all right? You know, no good thing will it withhold from you because you are upright. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. My tomorrow, yes, my future is sure, 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 sure. And I would love to see you, you know, next week again. We'll talk about the gift of the Holy Ghost. But please, on Sunday, 5 p.m. to 5:45 on all social media platforms, Influence of the Spirit Weekly. It will be sweet. We're dealing with being filled with the Holy Ghost. How to be filled. Learn how to be filled. All right, so join me on Sunday here on Spreaker, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Lion Rex on Osonya, Twitter Rex on Osonya. All right, just find me. Let's have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Enjoy the blessings that you have as the righteousness of God. Praise God.